Let's go to Luke 12. We're still studying this time of season, our due season. So Luke 12, verse 42. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom when his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? And this thing about it's all about God taking the appropriate. Good gracious. It's this mystery of God taking the appropriate action at the appropriate time to complete his mystery. Now, his appropriate action and at the appropriate time will never be your idea of what the appropriate action or the appropriate time is. You know, after 180 days, it says, I think it was 180, 150 or something, with this unstable boat rolling around in the massive storms, and finally it said, and God remembered Noah. Now, Noah's probably asking God to remember him from the second day or something. So you've got to understand that his appropriate action and his appropriate time is never your appropriate action or your appropriate time. And if you don't realize that, you will find yourself continually fainting. Fainting in the scripture means quitting in your mind and returning to your own arm of understanding. And it never ever ceases. So let's look at some of these. Let's go to Matthew 8. No, let's go to Hebrews 11.
I got an idea on that, what you just said. I was thinking about Daniel. They prayed. The prayer was answered, but Daniel didn't know it until the appropriate time. But when he prayed, God's Spirit moved.
Well, which time are you talking about? With Daniel.
When he says to him, I heard your prayer at the beginning of your
supplication.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, at the beginning of a supplication, the angel was sent. I'm sure that wasn't the beginning of his prayers. The difference between prayer and supplication is you finally reach the point where it doesn't matter whether you die or live or whatever. That's supplication. Prayers commonplace, but few know how to pray. But the supplication, where it says at the beginning of that supplication, then the angel Gabriel was sent.
Right, but Daniel didn't see that.
No, he saw it the same day, after his supplication.
I thought it was 3 weeks later. We looked back in 9, I thought it was like...
Well, we can look at it, I don't remember for sure. Let's go to Daniel.
The whole point, that's the framework of faith. You pray, you believe, you supplicate. God hears, begins the rearrangement of time and space.
Well, here's the case. It's verse 20 of Daniel 9. And while I was yet speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. It happened instantly when the supplication happened.
Well, we don't know that because he was praying the whole first part of the chapter.
No, listen to me, Pete. Listen. Okay, let's listen. Read the next verse. I just said. He was praying for maybe days, but it was at the beginning of the supplication. So let's look at what Gabriel said. And he informed, in verse 22, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. I'm trying to get to the point. There's a difference between prayer and supplication.
Okay.
Does that satisfy you now, Pete? It wasn't 3 weeks?
Yeah, it says at the beginning of the supplication, and he says...
He commanded.
And you wouldn't think that an angel would take 3 weeks to...
Well, I don't know where he got 3 weeks. It would instant.
Well, because he... In verse 20, he was confessing my sin and presenting my supplication, and that he had been doing that for 3 weeks. So that's why I was thinking. That's why I was thinking that.
Okay, do you understand now that wasn't correct? It's the beginning of the supplication. He came instantly. All right, back to Hebrews. Now, and the reason that so much time was spent on that is that there's a massive difference between prayer and supplication. All right.
Supplication is a different form of prayer?
No, supplication is
kind of when you...
Supplication is when you put your head in the lion's mouth.
Yeah,
it bites you deep. In other words, you have no more. There's no more. Everything from your standpoint is over. It's all him.
It's kind of what prayer is, because you're just not concerned anymore. It's, you give it up.
No, that's supplication. Prayers should be constant. Prayers, you know, you pray just like you talk to anybody.
Yeah. So supplication, when you walk without fear or walk in faith.
Supplication is an instant in time. And whatever you're dealing with, it becomes an instant in time in which you say, Father, throw me in the pit of hell and I'll live anyway. But don't kill these people, kill me. That's supplication.
Generally, it would always be preceded by prayer. Don't just go right into supplication.
Well, I have several times when it was not my choice. I would never have chosen to. But anyway, I'm just telling you from my own experience and what I see in the scriptures, especially in Daniel. All right, Hebrews 11. Well, it just has gone through from all the way from Abel to Enoch to Noah to Abraham, and it talks about what they did by faith. Then in verse 10 it says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now again, it's how faith sees it. She laughed at him and said, no, that's not possible. You remember?
Yeah.
But faith doesn't see that. Faith sees what it says. She judged him faithful who had promised. But her instant response was to laugh at him, saying, that's not possible. So she didn't judge him faithful, but faith sees she judged him faithful.
It sounds like she judged him faithful after it happened.
Well, you remember, but no, it's even more than that. Listen, look at Moses. Moses, who ran for his life into the desert because he had killed a soldier, what does it say? In verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. No, that's not what happened. But faith doesn't see that what happened. Faith sees faith. Now, this is critical for you to understand, because otherwise you'll constantly have this evil one condemning you for something. So anyway, we're back to we went through 12, so now 13. We went through 11, now 12. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, having not received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now the whole idea is, it's God is taking the appropriate action at the appropriate time. And the big example of that is I'll go all the way over to verse 40. I just went through all the people of faith, and all living in caves and being sawn asunder and blah, blah, blah. And it's verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having promised some better thing for us, that they without us could or should not be made perfect. Now, this is why we do what we do. I can't be perfected without you. Because he sees us. Now, this is totally unfair. And it violates everything that I think is right.
But you're stuck having to sit there and teach us every morning and we don't get it.
Well, I mean, it's a what is, but I'm just telling you, if I paid attention to my mind, which I do sometimes, then I have to get slammed by somebody. All right, so let's go to now we're back to
can this be looked at all this Hebrews 11 that the only faith God honors is the faith of Christ.
Amen.
And so each of these had that faith in them. The opposite of that would, I guess, be Abraham saying, well, I believe, but I better take some action here.
Well, it happened many times. They all screwed up many times.
Right,
but they didn't see, faith didn't see the screw up. Faith saw the faith of Christ. Faith can only see faith. Faith isn't faith unless it's automatic. Everybody understand that? A little bit? But it does pertain in that it shows you that the accuser has no power, because he doesn't even see, God doesn't even see anything except that which is the faith of Christ. So he sees you as that container, and all the crap you go through to try to see it and understand it. He doesn't see it. He says, and God called Mr. Bojo out of Ohio. And then you see everything else. Or out of Georgia, wherever you were.
For some reason, it seems like it's wrapped up in repentance. At the point where you repent, the thing that you were repenting of doesn't exist anymore, and the thing that you should have theoretically done in the first place is now the...
Well, that's what homologio means. It means you see the same way and hear the same thing that God does, or that Jesus Christ does. When you confess the Lord Jesus, it means you speak the same thing that he does.
So Sarah laughs. The angel calls on her. She repents of it, and it says...
She may not have even repented of it.
But, I mean, I can see it being that way. That at that point, you know, time is altered and everything is put back as if she hadn't laughed in the first place.
Right. But it doesn't even see all the other stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the movie got recut and just put back together the way it should have been.
All right. Everybody understand? Because otherwise, your mind's going to accuse you every other day.
It's also another avenue allowing you to forgive yourself.
Right.
Because self doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's not. If you forgive yourself because you're dead. Harry's not running around worrying about whether or not he did something wrong. He's not even concerned that he owes me $55,000.
Right, but the nerves.
Huh?
Are
you?
The
right, because you cheated at
work. I didn't cheat. That's many years of playing gin rummy at a penny a point Hollywood. Anyway, let's go. We're going back to. How did we get off on that? It's Gary's fault. Go to Matthew 8.
At least it's not my fault, thank God.
What verse did we stop at?
Hebrews, the last verse, Hebrews 40:39-40. Matthew 8. This is a funny one. Verse 28. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergens, I can't even say that word. There met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Even the demons have an idea of there's a time. But their idea is just as wrong as ours. Now that that's something else to me. All right, Matthew 16. Verse 1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and testing, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red in the morning and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? That's the same word we're studying. The signs of the times. All right, go to Matthew 21. Verse 33, this is the parable of the wicked husbandman. Hear another parable. there was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it about round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And again, the should have been fruit because the time and the season and the appropriate action had been taken. So that's all we're saying. Just as in, you know, we know in spring the leaves come out. We know in the fall it's falling leaves. That's what this idea of the time, the due time, the season, the right time. It's all those words. Matthew 26, excuse me. Start in verse 17. This is where they were sitting down to Passover. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into a certain city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover with my disciples. Again, the times. He just had to speak it. And the master of the house made ready the Passover without even knowing that he was coming. All right, let's go to Mark 1. Verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is here. Repent ye and believe the gospel. 2,000 years ago, almost 2,000, Jesus said, The kingdom of God is here.
The kingdom of God here, is that also the New Jerusalem that you talked about often?
Well, it's the kingdom of God is here because Jesus was here. And Jesus is here, so the kingdom of God is here.
Was it there before that was said?
Hmm?
Was it there before this was said?
It was there, and as we saw, they saw it, but it was afar off. Just like Abraham saw his day and was glad he saw Jesus.
So things changed at this point. Jesus came, something happened, things changed.
All right, let's go to Luke 19. No, let's not. Let's go somewhere else. Can't remember where it is. Let's go to Luke 19. I'll remember. Now, let's go to 2nd. Second Timothy. I wasn't going to take any side trips, but this is important. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a cancer, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already. And overthrow the faith of some. Now, it's hard for us to understand that scripture because everybody teaches that the resurrection passed already, that there was a resurrection at then, and there's going to be another one then, it's going to appear that it's coming back. The evil one, Satan himself, can say Jesus Christ came in the flesh and he's coming back. But it's only the Spirit of God that can say Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Just about every preachment I've ever heard since I've been a believer and paying attention to it teach that the resurrection is past and it's coming again.
The definition for the Sadducees, for the leaven of the Sadducees, is not believing in the resurrection.
Well, it's just one of the, it's not believing in the power of God.
Yeah, but I mean the actual words, for at least where I looked it up, it said deny that there is a resurrection. I was wondering if that's not, if this is the verse here isn't actually saying these people were Sadducees. They were preaching that God didn't have any power, not specifically.
Well, these were disciples.
Oh, okay.
Taught the resurrection was past already. They were condemned by word. Now let's go to 1 John 4. See it again.
You can actually look at it both ways. It is past, and yet your salvation experience changes it to the, it's not past.
Well, I mean, it's what it is. They say he was condemned, and their word eats as good as a cancer because they said the resurrection is past already. It can't be taken two ways. They're condemning him. Aren't they?
They condemn it here because in time and space it is past already, in time frames. But we see it as the resurrection is a continuum that's taking place in us. We're born again, and the resurrection is a...
Right, so we cannot say the resurrection is past already. Oh, I can't.
Well,
let's go to 1 John and let's see it again. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Again, a spirit is a word. It's anything that doesn't have a body. So it's your thoughts, it's your words, it's anybody else's words. Believe not every spirit. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, wherever you have heard that it should come, even now already is in the world. Now, the Antichrist confesses he did come in the flesh and that he will come in the flesh. But it's only the Spirit of God that confesses he is come in the flesh. Now, this is critical because as far as I know, the King James Bible is the only one that translates that. Is come. Well, this is not a light matter. This is everything about this mystery of the gospel into which we've been delivered, that he is come in the flesh. And the word is being made flesh in you. So there's no, that's how you redeem the time, for the days are evil.
Either right now is the only time that there is, or you've got a past, a future, you know, and all those other things that go along with it.
The point of it is in relationship to this due season, is for the resurrection and Brother Christ in us, which is the resurrection. It's a continuum. It's always in the present or present perfect tense. It's never in a past tense. He is come in the flesh. But it's your flesh. You are the temple of the living God. Who's the instead of Christ in their temple? You. And the name of you is sin. the name of the mistakes you make is trespass. He that is born of God cannot sin because his seed remaineth in him. And so there had to be the trespass offering. I mean, the sin offering before the trespass offering. Because the sin offering was to kill you. The trespass offering is the, you know, mistakes you periodically make. And the evil one raises his deadly head wound.
That he is come in the flesh, that coincides with the eternal present that you talked about, the eternal now.
Yeah.
There's the kingdom of heaven.
The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of heaven is here. The kingdom of Messiah is here. But you can say, I believe those words, but if you think as if you got to toil and do stuff, then it says if your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. If your eye is evil, and that word evil there is ponero, which means you see toil necessary, then even the light that's in you is darkness. And so it's a huge, huge deal that we've passed our allotted time. We'll study more of this due season. Take a big guy.